You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Dan Feldman here. Welcome to Locked On Pistons. You can follow Locked On Pistons on Audio Boom or subscribe on iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter at Dan Feldman NBA. All-star voting came out last night. In a twist this year, the league has gone away from fans exclusively picking the all-star vote. Now it's a three-tier system. The fan vote is 50%, a media vote is 25%, and a player vote is the other 25%. A little more complicated, but it has led to something I think is very cool. The league released full results. In previous years, they'd release a leaderboard of the fan vote. And since they adopted the new format, that's the top 10 guards per conference and the top 15 front court players per conference. Where anybody else stands, there's no idea. Kept privately within the league. But now they released the full breakdown, where every single player ranked from number one to how many ever they counted in each category. So how everybody ranked in the fan vote, in the media vote, and in the player vote. We're going to dig more into these results, but I'm going to come back to this. I want to give you some time to think about it. So here's a trivia question. Which Pistons player got the second most fan votes this year? Andre Drummond was first. Which Pistons player got the second most fan votes? Okay, we're going to come back to that, but we're gonna dig into how this worked. The media panel is pretty limited. There are only about 70 people, so you only have so many votes go so far. The player vote, the fan vote, those are a little more interesting, at least as far as the Pistons are concerned, because that's where there was some of an impact. The Pistons only have one player who at all would get any consideration at all, to be an all-star starter, and he didn't even get that much. Andre Drummond, based on this scoring system, this formula, Andre Drummond finished 12th among Eastern Conference front court players, and there's not much to gripe about there. The players who are going to start in the Eastern Conference front court, LeBron James, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Jimmy Butler way ahead of Drummond. And Drummond's in the mix with the next tier of guys, but they're a lot more popular than him mostly. Joel Embiid, Kevin Love, Kristaps Porzingis, Paul George, Carmelo Anthony, Jabari Parker, Hassan Whiteside, and Tristan Thompson's the one that might raise a few eyebrows as far as being ahead, but Thompson's a solid player. And once you get down that far, who cares really? Like, we're not going to spend time debating whether Andre Drummond belonged ranked ahead of Tristan Thompson or not. But it is interesting to see where Drummond finished in each group. In the player vote, he was 9th. In the media vote, he was 8th. Now, that's only one vote. Only one media member voted for him. The league did not release the votes by media. And so a lot of media members have put out there their choices. So maybe it's out there somewhere who voted for Drummond. But one vote was enough to make him 8th. So not a lot to tell there. But he did get 30 player votes, and that put him 9th among Eastern Conference front court players. But Drummond was 15th among fans. It's disappointing. It speaks to the Pistons' relevance, or lack thereof. I don't know how much Drummond cares about that per se. I think most people would rather be known and liked and valued by fans than not. Fewer people will admit that, but I think most people would like that. And Drummond could work himself up there. He's burdened right now a little bit by expectations. He's not that much better than he was when he entered the league. He's better. Don't let his critics fool you into thinking he's not better, but he's not that much better. He has not improved as much as you would hope. But he's still very young. There's still time for improvement. And I've said many times, it doesn't help that his biggest flaw, which is free throw shooting, exists in a way where like they stop the entire game just to highlight his flaw. Of course, that's not why they're doing it, but that's the result. Everybody stops. Play stops. All the attention goes to him to watch him miss a free throw wide right off the backboard. Doesn't do him much service. The things he does well, defensively, protecting the paint and being able to move on the perimeter, being a force on the glass, especially the offensive glass, his emerging off-the-bounce game, those things exist real quick. They're happening in the flow, easy to miss, harder to appreciate. not that they're difficult to appreciate, but much harder than it is to evaluate free throws. So I do think he's a little underrated in that regard. But this is where Andre Drummond's popularity stands now. Okay, let's jump back to that trivia question. Which Pistons player got the second most votes from the fans behind Andre Drummond? Reggie Jackson, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Tobias Harris, Marcus Morris. Nope. Boban Marjanovic. Maybe that's a little bit of a surprise, but Marjanovic has a little bit of a cult following. He played in San Antonio, where Spurs fans are pretty loyal. I think they understood why he left, that there wasn't a place for him. Greg Popovich even had that quote that he had to convince Boban to take more money that the Pistons were offering rather than going back to San Antonio. Pistons fans really love him. I think fans around the league really enjoy him. Hardcore followers. Obviously, these were a lot of joke votes, but joke votes would have gotten, I guess, depending on how you exactly want to define joke votes. For here, by the way, I just mean like you're not trying to pick the best player. You're just trying to get a player you like in for whatever reason. Those type of votes in previous years in the previous system would have gotten Zaza Pachulia a starting job in the All-Star game. He finished second in Western Conference front court voting. Now, because he didn't get any media votes, didn't get enough player votes, he dipped down and isn't going to make it in the system. But there are these cult followings, and Boban was the one for the Pistons. He got the second most fan votes. That said, he still finished 41st among Eastern Conference front court players. It's not like there was this big push for him like there was for Zaza. But in the scope of the Pistons, I thought it was a little interesting that Boban got the second most votes. Okay, not many media votes for the Pistons. Really, Drummond's one was the only one. Not much to tell there, but I do want to dig deeper into the player vote. I'm going to read way too much into this. Warning you in advance. I'm going to read way, way too much into this. Okay, the Pistons have 15 players. Each of them get 5 Eastern Conference votes. Players also got to vote cross-conference, if you were curious. But 5 Eastern Conference votes per each player on the Pistons, that's 15. That is 75 collective votes for the Pistons that they gave out. How many player votes did the Pistons receive or that they could have given out? That's an important distinction. 75 player votes they could have given out. The Pistons received only 52. Does that say something? You know, I expected a lot of players across the league to vote for only teammates. Some would vote for friends on other teams. Some might vote for players they really respect, players who are having good seasons. There could be all kinds of agendas, former teammates, college teammates, you name it. But I expected a lot of players, a lot of teams to be like, okay, well, I'll vote for each other. The Pistons didn't do that, clearly. 30 of those 52 votes were for Andre Drummond. So that means, you know, not all those came from the Pistons, because at most 15 Pistons could have voted for him. That means at very minimum, it was probably more, but at very minimum, 15 players on other teams voted for Drummond. So it's not many votes for the Pistons among themselves, no matter how you slice it. What does that say about them? Maybe they didn't vote at all. Maybe this was just about not being interested in this. Every so often, a player will make a big stink about players should have a larger voice in awards and all-star selections and all this. But a lot of players just don't care. It's a hassle. You got to log on, fill out your ballot. A lot of players don't care. The return rate was about 70% across the league. About 70% of players voted. So maybe the Pistons just didn't vote a lot. Maybe they were disorganized. You know, some teams I think were more organized about, okay, we'll all vote for each other. We'll vote for these players. We'll do our best to get them in. Okay, that would say something. It wouldn't be a huge deal. Maybe they were just disorganized about this. Maybe they're just not on board with doing things together in a general sense. Or maybe this says something even a little larger, that there wasn't this loyalty to each other. Reggie Jackson got 6 player votes. That was the second most. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope got 3. Boban got 3. Tobias Harris got 2. Marcus Morris got 2. Aaron Baines got 2. And then 1 each for Ish Smith, Michael Benajay, John Luehr, and Stanley Johnson. You know, maybe the Pistons would be more concentrated voting for their starters. Maybe some of them would want to vote for their backup teammates. Could have gone a lot of different ways, but didn't really go anyway. The Pistons, we don't know exactly to what degree, but we're not really on board with voting for each other. We just had a whole podcast yesterday about how Reggie Jackson fits into the team chemistry. You can go listen to that one if you haven't heard it already. Whether there's causing some divisions there, whether they're open to trading him because of that. You know, the players have grumbled publicly like a decent amount, not a huge amount, but a decent amount about shot distribution and things like that. So, you know, you just wonder how on board everybody is. And it's a matter of degree, whether they just weren't pulling for each other enough to get organized to get this done. Okay, that's one thing. It might be a big deal, it might not. But if they were voting for other players on other teams because they didn't really want to support their teammates, that would be a bigger deal. I don't know where this falls in it, but at minimum, they did not organize together to do this. That could be a big deal, could be a small deal, but that's where the Pistons are. This is a glimpse, a very small glimpse into what's going on. And I appreciate the league for releasing this all-star voting and allowing us to decipher it like this. I really wish, if you want to be greedy, that they would release each player's ballot, but of course that would never happen. Okay, that's enough about all-star voting. That's everything we learned, everything I'm reading too much into. It was interesting. We're going to talk more going ahead about Andre Drummond, whether he belongs as a reserve. That's a little more plausible for him. But we've got to move on now to talking about the game this weekend against the Wizards. This is a big one for the Pistons. Because the Wizards are ahead of them in the standings. So first, the big question, who's going to play? Doesn't look like KCP is. He went through a small portion of practice today. That was a non-contact portion. I don't think if he's doing contact today, he's suddenly going to be game available tomorrow. I'm still concerned about this. I'm still leery. The Pistons keep putting things out there like small progress, and then they talk about how they're optimistic and he's on the right track. But this was just him doing a little bit of non-contact practice, which for a rotator cuff injury doesn't strike me as that big of a deal. Moving around a little bit, things like that. If he's shooting that and looks good and comfortable doing that, that'd be a bigger deal. But we don't know exactly what this non-contact portion was and what was involved. So I am still concerned about KCP more than most, because these types of injuries often lead to surgery, and considering where he is, that he's going to be entering free agency in line for his first big payday, this is not the time to take a chance and play through it from his perspective. So I am concerned about when he's going to come back. Thankfully, though, Reggie Bullock was a breath of fresh air against the Hawks, looked very good. He has stepped up for the Pistons at different times. He's starting for KCP now. He was solid off the bench when they needed him late last season. He hasn't had a ton of NBA opportunities, but when he gets them, he looks like a good 3-and-D player. And against the Hawks, he really showed something that I think can help take a 3-and-D limited type of player like he is, not too much of a playmaker, not too much of a dribbler, and help take them to the next level, and that's off the ball cutting. And he said he learned this from Matt Barnes, who does so many other obnoxious, knuckleheaded things that distract from how smart of a player he is. There's a reason Barnes is still in the league. He's a good teammate in a lot of respects, and he's a really smart player. He's good at identifying those cuts, and Bullock said he learned that from Barnes with the Clippers, and credit Bullock for figuring this out and having this as part of his game. And what I really like about it, and Stan Van Gundy talked about this, that it was contagious, that the Pistons can be a little too standstill, but when Bullock is moving, it makes everybody else want to move. I think some of that is just setting the example and his teammates seeing it and, realizing, hey, I'm supposed to move too. And some of it is, all right, you get the defense scrambled, and that opens up opportunities for other players to cut, other players to move, and it can snowball. So much in basketball, and I use the word snowball over and over, is effects can snowball. So you get Bullock cutting, and it can get everybody cutting. So that's a nice sign. As much as I'm worried about KCP, it's nice that Bullock is having some moments. I think he's in a little over his head as a starter. Don't necessarily want to rely on that. But at least for that Hawks game, it was not as big of a liability as it could be. The other injury news is John Luehr went through practice, seems to be headed in the right direction. I'm a little more optimistic there. I think there's a chance he plays tomorrow. Not certain, but it looks like his return is in the foreseeable future. I don't know whether that's true for KCP. I don't have that same confidence. But Luer coming back would be nice, help out the Pistons' forward rotation. They can move Tobias Harris back to the bench where he's played well. Have Luer start, brings a little more balance to the starting lineup. He'd be a nice addition. And right in time, ideally, for this Wizards game, which is an important one for the Pistons because the Wizards are ahead of them in the standings by a decent amount, but not as much as it looked, for two reasons. Number one, though pretty much every team is better at home than on the road, the Wizards have been more different. The difference between their home performances and road performances has been greater than average. I don't know whether that'll hold up. I don't know whether that's something about them. We're dealing still with small samples when it comes to home-road splits. But that has been the case for them. They've had more home games. That's number two. They have had significantly more home games than the Pistons. That's just luck of the schedule. Sometimes at different points in the year, some teams are going to have more home games. Some are going to have more road games. The Pistons have had more road games. The Wizards have had more home games. So you put those together, I think the Wizards are looking a little inflated right now. But they are also gaining a lot of confidence as a result. They're not necessarily analyzing their home-road splits and whether they're due to some regression as the schedule changes. They just feel good because they're winning. And that's what the Pistons need to get to. This game in Auburn Hills on Saturday is a good opportunity for Detroit. We'll talk more about that game when we come back on Monday. We're here every Monday through Friday. You can follow Locked On Pistons on Audio Boom or subscribe on iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter at Dan Feldman NBA. Thanks for listening.